Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be with you. Caleb's got the week off, and so does the rest of the great band. I see Jay out there. Wave, Jay. We're giving them a week off. This is the McNerlands with Baker and Jay is the name of this group. And we've never played together, so y'all are going to be the first group that's ever heard us play. We're playing this song. I was going to dedicate this to the Razorback coaching staff, but unfortunately, Chad Morris has been fired, and I don't want to speak ill of a guy who's lost his job. Unfortunately, has to take $10 million to go out of town. But we're going to try this on, and I want you to sing. It's not on the screen, but you'll catch on pretty quick. Stand up if you want to. If you don't want to stand up, sit down. Do whatever you want to do. I don't want to insist people stand up. Well, it ain't nobody's fault but mine. It ain't nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, it ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Ain't nobody's fault but mine.
You're smiling a little bit. You're going, I can't believe they got up here and did that. But we're going to eke out a good time. We're going to praise God. That's what we're here to do. And nobody ever said praising God couldn't be any fun. So you'll know this song. And again, if you want to stand, feel free if you're more comfortable. comfortable sitting down as I am at 65. That's up to you.
Capo.
Oh, yeah, I got a capo. Thank y'all so much. That would have really been bad. Sean's on top of this thing.
That's Bradley.
You got to thank the good Lord above for the McNerland family for rescuing this band. Okay, y'all ready to go? Count us off, Vincent.
Amen. Have a seat. What a start. Huh? Amen. How about this? How about Baker and all these folks filling in? Such an amazing job. That was a very, such a joyous way to start our morning. And joy is something that I want you guys to be thinking about all morning long. It's going to drive our music. It's going to drive our sermon as well. It is great to be with all of you this morning. Such a blessing to have all of you at Asbury United Methodist Church. One quick thing. I know that so many of you walked in this morning and probably thought, what in the world is this? Right? Where is my order of worship? Why are they handing out a sheet? Well, I'll explain a couple things to you. And what we really want from you guys is we want your feedback as we go through this. We have reached a point where in the sanctuary at least, because we are blessed with technology, they have to put all of their liturgy in their trifold. And so when they have to go to that third page, guess what happens? We run out of room for launch order of worship. So what we are looking at is a separate bulletin for the launch service. We might have some weeks where we just don't simply have an order of worship. And the reason for that is because the Holy Spirit is constantly working and moving us, and we're thinking of things that may come to us on a Saturday, and those bulletins have already been printed. So just bear with us as we kind of figure out what that right zone is for us to be in. But we are making that change, and I know for some it's probably a huge deal. Hopefully as we go on and we see the worship and why it makes sense, it becomes less of a deal. So be patient with us, but also give us feedback on how you feel about it. This one sheet deal was just a one-time thing. So frame it, because it's one of a kind. With that being said, we normally send our kids out right now to Kids Club, but we have a special guest for them that we're going to get to in just a minute. So why don't we take a moment, stand up, and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor, and then we'll come back together for a quick word of prayer. With tomorrow being Veterans Day, I think it's only appropriate that as we come back together this morning for our time of prayer, that we take a moment and pray over and recognize all of those servicemen and women who have so valiantly fought for our country and served our country so well. So if you would do me a favor, if you have or are currently serving in the military, please stand up for me. Thank you. As we pray, we're going to pray over them this morning. Please join me as we go to God. Gracious and loving God, protector of all, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you for the opportunities that are presented to us because of where we live, God. And we know that the price for that sometimes is heavy, sometimes is steep. And we know that you call so many brave men and women into service to protect that freedom. And we are so thankful for them, for those that are with us today, for those that are around the world serving, and for those who have already joined your great heavenly banquet. God, we give thanks to you for all of them, and we ask that you continue to provide a hedge of protection around them as they move throughout the world seeking freedom, seeking democracy, seeking to make all our neighbor. God, we give thanks for that this morning and for so many other things, for this opportunity to be together in worship, this opportunity to praise and sing and clap and just enjoy being in fellowship together. God, we give thanks to you for that and for all things. Through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, so good morning. How is everyone? Happy Sunday. That never works. Happy Sunday. So glad you're here. Well, it's been a while since we've had our friend Stewardship here. So let's see if we can get him to up here.
Oh, hello. Oh, my day is going horribly.
Why?
I'm running late. We had turkey bacon for breakfast instead of regular bacon, and it was yuck. I couldn't find my shoes, and I was to greet for Brother Nick, and I forgot.
Well, it sounds like you were having a rough morning. You know, as I tell my kids, just have a donut and everything will be okay.
Oh, Miss Laura, have you noticed something new about me?
A new haircut?
No.
A new shirt?
No.
You got new glasses? Oh, well, it makes you look very sophisticated, Stewardship. And I think they're wonderful.
Miss Laura, how come you're always happy about everything?
Well, I'm not always happy about everything, but I am trying to remember what our stewardship campaign is all about. It's about gratitude.
But everything goes wrong for me. There's nothing for me to be grateful for.
There's always something to be grateful for. You just have to look for it. You can complain, or you can be grateful.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yes, he can walk. So, stewardship, I think you need another pair of glasses.
But my eyes are perfect with these glasses.
Oh, no, 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 no. These glasses go on the inside, on your heart.
Glasses on your heart? That's crazy.
All you ever see are things to complain about. I wish you had a special pair of glasses that would make you see things to be grateful for.
I guess I could try to see things like you do.
And one way we've been asked to do is to do a gratitude journal. I'm sure you could come up with 5 things every day to be thankful for.
I'm sure I can. I can think of one right now. I am grateful for great friends like you, Miss Laura, who are always so happy about everything.
Well, that's wonderful, Stuart. Thank you. And keep going. You're doing great. And stewardship, I really do like your glasses. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all the grateful things that you do for us. Let us remember that we need to be grateful for things that people do and for people in our lives. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, stewardship. As our young ones make their way out and head to Kids Club, let's go to God in prayer as we pray to receive our tithes and our offerings. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you. Thanks to you because we can be here together as stewards of your kingdom. That is a responsibility that we take very seriously. And we know that as you continue to bless us in our lives, you seek in ways for us to bless others. And God, the best way for us to do that is to work through your kingdom and through your will. So we as faithful stewards, God, put our trust in your guiding hand, that you will take what we have and use it to make change, to make a difference, to make disciples. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
good morning. It is a joy to be with all of you again today. And I say that seriously, and not just because we're thinking so much about gratitude this month, but it truly is a joy to see everyone. Just Sunday morning, it is truly the highlight of my week, I promise you. And so it's with that joy that we go to God in prayer. Please join me. Almighty and loving God, we give thanks to you. Thanks to you because you are here, because you are with us. You are always present with us. And we know that the joy that we seek, the joy that we feel, comes directly from you. That's why we come here together as a community of believers, as a fellowship here at Asbury, because we know that you are guiding us in our life, that we know you, God, and that we know your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us. And so that joy draws us in. It draws us closer to you. And for that, we are thankful. God, sometimes we get lost on what joy really is. Sometimes there's things in the world that seem like joy, only to find out that it's fleeting, God, that it's not. And so we come here today a little hurt, a little lost. There's something on our mind, there's something on our hearts. And maybe we have it buried deep inside, maybe it's right there on the tip of our tongue, but we feel it and we know it. But most importantly, God, we know you know it too. And so as we are here today, we are seeking that you change us, transform us, restore us to the image that you call us to be made into. Now, we also know this morning that as we are focused on the reasons to be thankful, we also know it's easy to get very lost in the season, God. Everywhere we look, every department store we walk into, every commercial we see, the advertising just shifts our focus. It can lead to stress, and God, we just ask that you alleviate all that for us and help us stay focused on this upcoming season, the reasons that we should be grateful and the reasons that we should have joy. God, this morning we ask that you are with all of our brothers and sisters around the world, especially those that are moving throughout the world in places where, God, your word is not allowed, it is not accepted. We know those people fight a dangerous fight every day, God, and they are doing so because they love you. So place a hedge of protection around them and help them move. And God, for us here in Little Rock, we need the same. Help us to see those opportunities that are right in front of our faces, God. Help us see those moments where we can truly be a disciple for you in our day-to-day. And God, lastly, we know that you have a powerful message for us to hear today. So we ask that you do that. But for that to happen, God, you have to get me out of the way and take center stage. We are your humble servants in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So I talked a little bit about some things that bring me joy, but I have an absolute confession that I have to make. There is one thing in this world that brings me zero joy, and in fact, it causes me more anxiety than probably anything I encounter. And what that is a very disorganized, very messy space. I can't handle it. When I walk into a room and it's a mess, when I walk in and things are disorganized like a robot, I can just slowly feel myself start to shut down. And I know that sounds crazy because with three young kids and with a wife who is crafty, I can... She's not here this week. Yeah, so that is nearly impossible. I spend my life walking across Barbies and soccer balls and Batman to get to the bathroom. The bottom of my foot always seems to find that Lego that I know wasn't there just moments before, okay? And we have craft tables in seven rooms of our house. That's counting bathrooms, okay? And so, it's for me, I can't process that way. And I know there's some of you out there that are with me and are that way. You're the kind of person that when you walk into your office on Monday morning at 8:30, whatever that desk looks like, it has to look that way at 4:30 before you leave, right? That's my office as well. And so I'm always looking for ways to reorganize, to organize my life. And so I came across this show on Netflix. And if you've seen it, give me an amen. It's called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Has anybody seen it? What an amazing show. What an amazing show. So she has this method of organization, and this is literally just what she does. She goes into your house, and most of these houses look like an episode of Hoarders, right? There's stuff everywhere. And she helps you organize. But she has a very, very unique method on how she does it, this KonMari method. And it's based on one simple premise, and that premise is joy. So through her method, you are supposed to take items in any given room, say, for example, your bedroom or your closet, wherever you keep your clothes, and you're supposed to take each individual item of clothing, and you're supposed to hold it in your hands and ask yourself one simple question. Does anybody know the one simple question you're supposed to ask? Does it bring me joy? Absolutely right. Netflix is going to be in business for quite some time. But what the method does is it seeks to connect you with the things in your life that bring you, that elicit emotion, this emotion of true joy. And if the item doesn't bring you joy, like if there's no emotional connection to it, you know, like that drawer you have at your house that's full of old phone chargers for the iPhone 4 that you're never going to have again, right? You're supposed to let all of that go, right? You're just supposed to throw it away, and you're supposed to remove it from your life permanently. But if you do connect with the item emotionally, not only are you supposed to keep it, but you are to find a special place for it, and that becomes its permanent spot. So she's built an entire organizational system based on actually what's a very spiritual feeling, the feeling of joy. And if you watch the show, it's incredible to see not only how much people are willing to let go of, but it makes you realize how much we attach ourselves to things that provide temporary happiness. Temporary happiness versus deep-rooted joy. Let's talk about that for a minute. But first, we're going to start with our scripture, which is from the Gospel of Luke this morning. It is chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. You can follow along with me on the screen. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, there is so much that we can get hung up on in this morning's scripture. We can talk about the region Jesus was in, why he was passing through. That's a whole message unto itself. We could talk about the fact that he was passing through a foreign land, that he healed foreigners, and the fact that one that came back was a foreigner. There's so many rabbit holes that we could shoot down, but I want us to take a very basic approach to this story and focus on the main idea while seeing it through the lens of one word, and that word is joy. Jesus heals 10 lepers on this day. Keep in mind, it was 10 people who asked to be healed. And after the healing occurs, all of them move on with the exception of one. One man out of 10 comes back to Jesus, realizing the magnitude of what just occurred. A disease that quite possibly he had been afflicted with his entire life was wiped away in an instant. And he is made whole. He is restored to health. All of the pain, misery, and rejection he had faced, gone. But why was he the only one to turn around? The only one to drop to his knees and give thanks to God? Because the rest of the group, the other 9, had confused 2 very distinct feelings that we can all confuse in our humanity at times. and that's joy and happiness. They were happy, sure, but they were happy because they had been healed. Their worldly affliction, or at least the worldly affliction that they had at that time, was over, and I have no doubt they were very happy. But the problem was, their happiness lied in the healing and not the healer. I'll say that again. Their happiness lied in the healing and not the healer. See, that's temporary happiness. That's how it works. We find happiness in a result, a circumstance, an item, something coming into or going out of our lives, but that feeling, that happiness, it's fleeting. It comes and we feel amazing happiness, but eventually it's goes away, and it's hard to see that at the time because that feeling of happiness can be so overwhelming. See, I imagine being healed of leprosy had to feel euphoric. I have no context in which to speak of, but I imagine if I had leprosy and instantly it went away, I would be pretty happy. I'd be pretty excited. And see, but it wasn't permanent. Their happiness wasn't permanent because it wasn't rooted in joy. That happiness, the same happiness those nine guys felt, is the result of things that will happen to us outside of ourselves. Think about it. Those same occurrences that bring you happiness can also bring you pain. The happiness you feel for the job you get today could lead to the pain you feel when that job is eliminated 10 years from now. That flannel shirt you bought that one time when you were in that grunge rock phase back in the 90s that you've never worn again, it made you feel happy for a short time. And if you haven't Marie Kondo'd, you're probably still hanging on to it, but I recommend get rid of the flannel shirt. Happiness is so circumstantial. What makes us happy and gives us comfort could quickly change tomorrow because what is happening around us in this world, what is happening today, is changing very rapidly. But what does Jesus say to the one man who comes back? Stand up and go. It is your faith that has made you well. It was your gratitude. Not gratitude for the fact that you were healed, but that you had gratitude for the one who healed you. His change had nothing to do with his physical health. It had to do with a change in his heart, a turn towards faith, towards an understanding that something bigger was occurring. Yeah, he'd been cured of a horrible disease. And he had also been cured, but he had also been cured of something much worse than that. He'd been cured of a diseased heart. He came to the realization of what God had done for him, and he was overcome with joy. He was overcome with gratitude. See, this was Christ's earthly mission, to show and teach about the transformational power of God, not so that we would be in awe, not that so we would bow down in fear, but so we could see where the source of our peace and joy truly comes from. John 15:11, hear this. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. See, joy is an inner state of trusting and loving God, and it dwells in each of us. Not for the things God will do or for things that we want him to do, but for what he has done, what he did for us through Christ in his earthly ministry and on the cross. See, joy, real joy that occurs in us is grounded in a God that is never changing. That's why it's so easy for us to confuse happiness and joy. So how do we fully understand joy? How do we KonMari between temporary happiness and joy? The first thing we do is we pray. We pray and we give constant thanks and glory to God for what he has done in our lives. For all of us, no matter where we are in life, no matter how we feel about where we are in life, God has already done more than we could ever think of possibly asking for. The healed man fell on his face at the feet of Christ, not because he had been healed, but because something had occurred that was far beyond his comprehension, and all he could do was give thanks. See, God is doing that with all of us. He is working in ways we cannot understand to bring about changes in our lives that we aren't even thinking about right now. Changes that when they occur, we will look back and we will say, wow, I never saw that coming, but I sure did need it. Second is that we have to imitate Christ in all we do. Think back to that passage in John. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. Jesus wanted his joy to live in and through us, to bring joy and love to all of those around us. To truly imitate Christ is to take this joy that we feel, that not just to keep it to ourselves, but to proclaim it as true disciples. Jesus calls for all of us to share our story, to tell others of the life-changing power of our faith. The world is tough right now. It is divided, it is polarized, it is cold. And we have a message that is not polarizing, it is unifying. It is a message of love that if we share, gets right to the heart of what Jesus calls us to do in the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, we trust. We trust in God fully, and it is with that trust, through the joy that we have experienced in our relationship with Him, that we are faithful givers of our resources. We give out of the overflow of our blessings. Blessings realized because no matter how much we give of our time, talents, gifts, and resources, we can never outgive God. The blessings that are heaped upon us are so abundant that we can never begin the process of repaying. But it doesn't mean that through faithfulness, we cannot seek to impact His kingdom with our means. In 2 Corinthians 9, 7-8, Paul writes, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." See, life is a pendulum. And it reminds me of those old cartoons where, you know, something would swing right at Wile E. Coyote, right? And he would duck out of the way, and then he'd get up, and he'd think he got out of danger, and then what would happen? That pendulum would swing right back and hit him in the back of the head, wouldn't it? See, that's how happiness works. You will have moments where things are going amazingly well, and that anvil is going to swing the other way and catch you right in the back. But joy that is found in the comfort of knowing that we are loved unconditionally by a mighty God that knows this world is going to be hard on us, that is going to seem unfair, and that is also going to mislead us. That God loves us unconditionally. See, your faith, when you think about the KonMari of your life, is the one thing that you can hold and never have to question if it brings you joy. It serves as the foundation for the sense of gratitude we feel in our soul. So as we continue to move through this season of gratitude, I pray that we all center our hearts on the eternal joy of knowing that we have a God that loves us, fights for us, and will never leave us. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for the message we have heard today. We give thanks to you for the message of joy, God, because we know you are the source and center of our joy. We ask that you are with us today, God, and that you are with us through this season of gratitude. Help us to stay focused, God, on you. Help us to stay focused on your love. Help us to stay focused on what you have done for us, which is sent a Savior when we need it at the most. God, be with us this week as we head out into the mission field, as we seek to make disciples, as we seek those among us who need us. Be our eyes and ears, God. We will be your hands and feet. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen. So if the Holy Spirit has spoken with you today and laid something on your heart, it's a good time to act. We are going to have our next song, which is the song of invitation. Baker and them have done such an amazing job this morning. And we have we have half of our prayer kneeler open. I guess if you wanted to pray over here, you could pray with stewardship. I think he's back there somewhere. But those are open to you and available if you would like to pray. This is your own space. If you want to come forward and proclaim your faith, we would love to do that. If you want to pray with me, I will be right over here, and I'll be happy to do that. Let's be standing as we sing this song of invitation.
Y'all want to do one more? I want to thank Randy Dennis. Randy's been up here for over 4 hours. And Nick, thank you for the beautiful message. And I am going to be full of gratitude. And if any of y'all don't find joy in your flannel shirts, just give me a call. I'm an XL. They all fit good. We're going to sing Shout to the Lord, which is a great way to walk out of here. So y'all hang with us. It's been a treat to be with you. We see you next Sunday at God willing. Okay, try it again. I messed that up. I want y'all to hear Bradley play. It's really good.
Savior.
I don't know what's left to say. It's been a joy being with all of you today. As you leave this place, serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that lives within you. And may peace be your way in the world. Go in peace. Amen.